Marie had a bust-up with him about not handing over her cheque, and then eventually moved out when she was 17. Thanks to her wages and her spirit, she was well able to. Marie's new feistiness was a sign of the times. It was the roaring 20s, after all, and even in a tiny town like Ottawa, the breeze of female independence and fun times was stirring the sidewalks, blowing the winds of change. The dial painters were full of youth and beauty, just itching to get out there and lick the world. And what a time to be doing it! Prohibition was huge in Ottawa, remarked a resident. There was a lot of drinking and gambling joints. And not just that, big bands and good times. The dial painters were among those dancing to the 20th century jazz boys and, later, Benny Goodman. The year 1923 was when the Charleston dance craze took America by storm and the radium dial girls swiveled their knees with the best of them. The luminous glow of the radium on their hair and undulating dresses made those parties even more special. Many of the girls, Catherine Wolfe recalled, used to wear their good dresses to the plant so that they would become luminous when they went out to parties later. It gave the girls even more reason to invest in high-end fashion. They bought the latest cloche hats, high heels with bows upon them, handbags and strings of pearls. And it wasn't just after work that the good times roared, either. In work, too, the girls had a blast. As in Orange, the bosses, Mr. and Mrs. Reed and Miss Murray, worked downstairs, giving the girls on the second floor a free rein to have fun. In their lunch hour, the girls would go into the dark room with the leftover radium paint. They'd had a swell idea for a new game. We used to paint our eyebrows, our lips, and our eyelashes with the remaining radium paint, and then look at ourselves in the darkroom, recalled Marie. The girls would always get fresh jars of material for the afternoon's work, so they had carte blanche to use up the surplus paint from the morning. Marie used to dab the glowing mixture freely around her nostrils and along her eyebrows, and then give herself an elaborate moustache and a comedy chin. The girls would all make faces at each other. They thought it was hilarious. Charlotte Nevins remembered that they would turn the lights off and then we could look in the mirror and laugh a lot. We glowed in the dark. Yet for all the laughter, it was a strangely spooky vision. In the dark room, no daylight shone. There was no light at all, except for the glowing element the girls had painted on their bare skin. They themselves were completely invisible. All you could see was the radium. But, as Marie herself said, it was all just for fun. More and more girls joined them at Radium Dial. Frances Glachinsky, Ella Cruz, Mary Duffy, Ruth Thompson, Sadie Prey, Della Harveston and Inez Corcoran were among them. Inez sat right next to Catherine Wolfe in the studio. "We were a bunch of happy, vivacious girls," remembered Charlotte Nevins fondly. "The brightest of the girlhood in Ottawa. We had our own little clique. That clique worked together, danced together, and had outings along the river and at Starved Rock, a local beauty spot. They were such good, good times. And, as Catherine's nephew later said of those halcyon days, they thought it was never going to end."